Ephesians chapter 2 in our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13 are going to be our text for the Lord's Supper service message this evening. And if you're new to us, we observe the Lord's table four times during the year, the first Sunday night in every new quarter. That's what we've chosen to do and have done for years. I paid a visit on a family that, or a couple that visited here some weeks ago. And I said, do you have any questions? His only question was, how often do you observe the Lord's Supper? I told him four times a year. It really distressed him. And he seemed very disappointed about that. And I said, well, what are you used to? He said, every week. And I said, well, that's what your church chooses to do, what your church chose to do. That's fine. I don't get distressed about that. He shouldn't get distressed about us doing it four times a year. The Bible just said, as oft as you do it. And we do it four times a year. It's always a special service when we do. I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it tonight. Let's stand, please. In chapter 2, verse 11, 12, and 13, I want to thank you parents for supporting the youth activity, letting your young people be there yesterday. It was Brother Jason's first one. Had a good crowd, had some bus teenagers, and I appreciate that. That's very, very good. I have complete confidence in Jason. I believe your kids will enjoy him, and I think he's good for them. I think he'll teach them a lot. Man has an excellent spirit, and I appreciate that. All right, let's read 11, 12, and 13, and you join me on verse 12. That'll be our text. Wherefore, remember, Paul said, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let's pray before our special. And dear Father, we're coming around the table tonight like you told us to. And we're coming around to remember the body and blood of your Son Jesus that was given for us on Calvary. And we pray tonight that you'll take these thoughts and, Lord, use them in our hearts and lives. I pray, God, that we'll have a greater appreciation tonight for Jesus Christ offering on the cross of Calvary when we leave this building. So do a good work in us. Bless the song and singers, the message to follow, our time around the table. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. that, ladies? That was a blessing. Well done tonight. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the privilege and responsibility of the blood, or the privilege and responsibility that comes with the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Father, for this wonderful time. Use it in our hearts, please. Jesus, you had a specific purpose for this ordinance. I pray that that purpose will be realized in a good way this evening. And the Lord will be closer to you because we spent some time together here. We have a common bond tonight. It's in what this table represents. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for what you did for us old Gentile dogs when you died on the cross. Bless us tonight in our thoughts in Jesus' name and amen. The Lord's table is a time for remembering. There are two ordinances left for the local church to observe, that of baptism and then the Lord's table. Both of them have a specific purpose. Baptism is an identification with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as being your hope of heaven. You're trusting in His finished work. And it's a symbolic thing of what's happened positionally in your life. Once you get saved, you've been crucified with Christ, buried, and risen again to walk in newness of life. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember our Lord's death. Paul said, till He come. Now, it is obvious that Christ did not want us to forget His sacrifice of love that was made on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talked about passing the bread. We'll do that in a little bit. The bread represents the body of Jesus Christ. And he talked about passing it. And he said, when you pass the bread, he quoted the Lord. The Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. So when we pass the bread, we ought to be remembering what Jesus did for us when he gave his body to die on that cross. And I won't talk about that tonight a lot in the message, but let me remind you that he gave his body to be brutally butchered. The visage on the tree, you couldn't even make out that it was a human body. All right, massacred. That's the body that's the type of thing Jesus gave his body to. And then he talked about passing the juice. We'll do that in a minute. And then he talked about the juice going, that is the picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, when that juice comes around, he quoted the Lord again, this do in remembrance of me. So when we get that cup with that juice in it, we're supposed to remember something about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there's more than we have time for tonight, but that's what I want to talk about tonight. The privilege and responsibility that we enjoy because of the blood of Christ. Paul is writing to the believers who made up the church at Ephesus in this book right here. It's written to the church at Ephesus. And he reminds them of something wonderful the blood of Christ did for them. And I want you to notice the first two words of verse number 11. He begins the paragraph by saying, wherefore, remember. There's that word. The same word that Jesus used when he said, this do in remembrance of me. Now look, folks, seeing as how Jesus told us when we passed the juice that we're supposed to do it in remembrance of him, and seeing here Paul gave something to these Gentiles to remember about the blood of Christ, I suggest that we need to pay attention to what Paul is writing in these verses, because what he's writing about is what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for the people in this room right here. Because we're Gentiles, okay? Now you remember he's writing to a Gentile church. See, Paul took the gospel to them at Ephesus back in Acts chapter 19. He took the gospel to Ephesus. He got to preaching there. Had all kinds of problems. We'll talk about that. I mean, you remember, I'll go into that right now. But all kinds of distress and uproar there. Demetrius, the silversmith, the great is the god, Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians, for 2 hours, they threw dirt in the air. Just had a riot. And that's what happened when the Apostle Paul was in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a Gentile city. Ephesus was a church made up of Gentile people, the church here. And so Paul is writing to a Gentile church and he reminds them in verse number 11. He said, you remember that in time past, Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by the Jews, okay, by that which is called the circumcision. And he says, in time past. You see, here's our problem with this passage of Scripture right here. We are hundreds of generations removed from the time that Paul is talking about here. He said, in times past. He's writing to a church of people in A.D. 64. He said, now you Gentiles need to go back in your mind. And you need to remember tonight, in time past. Go back to A.D. 34. In fact, let's go back to A.D. 33. Let's go back to A.D. 2 or 3. And let's go back to B.C. 400 B.C. and 1000 B.C. and 2000 B.C. And Gentiles, you need to be reminded of what you were at times past. In times past. Paul reminds them of what they were. Then he starts on our condition as Gentiles. And our problem is, see, we're further removed from this time that he's talking about than these Christians were. This is A.D. 64. This is 2005. That's a long time. You see, we just come to believe and accept that this has always been what we've done. People for years, Gentile people for years, have heard the gospel, gotten saved, been baptized, there's churches, there's Bible preaching. God has been our personal God. Jesus has been our Savior. We've had fellowship with God. It's just been like that for the Gentiles forever and ever and ever and ever. And always been that way. Not for Gentiles. And Paul is writing to a Gentile church and he's saying, hey, you need to go back in your mind in time past. And then he describes this time past. Look at it. Verse number 12. That at that time, ye were without Christ. You see, the Gentile people were without Christ in their culture. Folks, I'm getting ahead of myself. Our Gentile forefathers, were without Christ in their culture. My goodness, go a step further. They were without Christ. They were without relation to Him. Do you understand that Christ, the Jews, were related to Christ? They were half brothers. He was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. I know his father was God. But his mother was a Jew. The life of Jesus Christ was lived in front of the Jews. The miracles, the teaching, the healings, the words of teaching and preaching, all that Jesus did was in front of the Jews. The Gentiles had none of that. Oh, you had a few. You had Gentiles like the Syrophoenician woman. You had a few Gentiles, like the maniac of Gadara. But for the most part, the ministry of Jesus Christ was conducted in front of Jewish people. The Gentiles had none of that. We were without Christ. Our forefathers, without Christ, without His influence, without the sweet mercies and graces that accompany the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't come to us. He came to His own. He came to the Jewish people. He came to the Jews. Now, folks, do we understand that the civilized culture that we were born into, truth of the matter is, civilized culture came across the ocean from the old country to this country. That's right. But do you understand that in many Gentile cultures, in times past, there was no influence of Christianity? Good night. The people that crossed the ocean were coming here so they could worship God. Now you've got to go back in times past. Do you know what the Gentile culture was like without the influences of Jesus Christ? It was full of sorcery. It was full of animism, spirit worship. It was full of idolatry and immorality of the most crude forms, cannibalism. I've mentioned this often, but this is a good point. I mentioned about how that Charles Darwin went to the New Hebrides Islands to look for the missing link that Dr. Edgeworth was teaching about here in the last several days. Charles Darwin went to those islands. When he got there, he found those people were so barbarous, so wild, so heathen, he went home. I mean, they were eating people. Why was that? That was a Gentile culture without the influences of Jesus Christ. When John Patton took the message of Christ there, things changed. Now, folks, it hasn't always, you know, we come in our suits and ties. We think, and we, you know, I'm glad God has blessed. But in times past, our people did not have the influences of Christ. In times past, the Gentiles were without Christ. Are you with me tonight? Okay. This is our heritage. This is not Baptist heritage.
This Gentile heritage. Okay? Then he goes a step further. By the way, if that's all he said, that'd be a mess right there. If there had been no influence of Christ in the United States of America, there'd be cannibalism in this country. By the way, probably going back to it, we're going to kick God out of here. We get him out of this thing altogether like some folks want to in our society. And we'll be back doing the same things that the Gentile cultures were doing without Christ in the first place. We're already killing babies, which is what the Gentile culture did without Christ back in the Old Testament time period. If he stopped right there, that's bad enough. A Gentile culture without the influences and the mercies of Christ. But he goes on here. He says in verse number 12, being aliens, that's good along with our Wednesday night study here this past week, amen. Being aliens, and they're talking about people whose heads are five times bigger than their bodies, okay? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, who were the Israelites? The Israelites were the people of God. Chosen by God, loved by God, led by God, blessed by God. That's who the Israelites were. They were His people. What's a commonwealth? It's a community. A community of Israelites. The Bible says that the Gentiles were aliens from the community of people that were chosen by God, blessed by God, loved by God, led by God. We were aliens. Hey, wait a minute. Not foreigners. Not foreigners. Aliens. Big difference. You see, here on planet Earth, you got the Commonwealth of America, if you will. The community of America. You got the community of Madagascar over there on that little island off the coast, southeast coast of Africa. Ben and John, they go to Madagascar. They are foreigners there. But they're not total aliens in that country because the Malagasy people are earth dwellers like we're earth dwellers. Are you with me? They live on this earth. They grow things out of the soil. And by the way, have you ever been to a foreign country? You know the weird feelings you get being a foreigner in a strange country. I don't care when Keith and Judy Harrison were there to pick my wife and I up at the Buenos Aires airport. We walked through that airport. I felt like a stranger. When that preacher met us in the Philippine Islands, we landed in Manila about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I felt like a stranger. But I wasn't an alien. I was a foreigner. I was a stranger amongst a community of Filipinos. A stranger amongst a community of Argentines. A stranger amongst a community of Kiwis and Australian people down in that the continent down under. There's a difference in being an alien and a foreigner. An alien is from another planet, way, way out there, beyond, not used to planet Earth, not used to Earth dwelling. And the Bible says that Gentile people were not foreigners to the Commonwealth of Israel. Gentile people were aliens to the Commonwealth of Israel. We didn't know how to behave. We didn't know how to worship. We didn't know how to act. We didn't know how to pray. We didn't know how to sacrifice. We were aliens to the community of God's people. Come here. By the way, this is a doctrinal message tonight. I make no apology for preaching it. I love it. If I got to stand on my head and tell 14 sad stories to get your attention, just go to sleep. Okay? I'm going to go verse by verse, line upon line, precept. But this is the only thing right here. This is the only thing right here is going to help people, not somebody's silly story. That's the only thing right there. Aliens. Not foreigners. Aliens. From the community of people that were God chosen, God loved, God blessed, God directed. It was the community of the Israelites. You and I and our forefathers way back were aliens to that. Aliens to it. So we're without Christ. Now we're aliens to the community or the commonwealth of the Israelites. But it gets worse. Look at verse 11, verse 12 again. And strangers from the covenants of promise. That's talking about the Old Testament covenants. Who were they made to? Made to the Jews. Abraham. Passed down to Isaac. Passed down to Jacob. Then David, the Davidic covenant. Covenants were made with the Jews. Our forefathers, Gentile forefathers, were strangers from the covenants. Folks, do you understand that for 4,000 plus years of human history, God worked primarily, almost exclusively, exclusively with Israel. His covenants were with the Israelites. Look, God doesn't change. He's always the same. But how He works with people changes from dispensation to dispensation. Now, we're not ultra-dispensationalists. We don't believe that the Bible should be cut up and this part given to this group and this part given to this group and this part given to this group and this part given, like the books, some of the books on the market today teach. Some of the books on the market today teach that you can't read anything as a Gentile. You can't read anything past the book of Titus and Philemon and have it mean anything for you. That means Hebrews, James, and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are not for you. I'm sorry. It may not be to me, but it's for me. Every bit of it. Every bit. I'm not ultra dispensationalist. But you've got to understand, if you're going to divide this book properly, you've got to understand that God doesn't change, but how He works with men, how He works with humanity changes from dispensation to dispensation. Hey, folks, when we leave this place, it's going to be different during the tribulation than it is right now. There are not going to be no churches. Not going to be assemblies of believers like this. Okay? When we get to the millennial kingdom, things are going to change again. God doesn't change. But how He works with man changes. And God can do that because He's God. He can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants. And it's always right, always good, always perfect because He's God. Now, for 4,000 years, Paul is saying to these Gentile people, in times past, you need to remember, Gentiles, in times past, you were strangers from the covenants of promise. God did not work with you. Do you know what the Gentiles were doing while God was working with the Israelites? They were offering their kids to the fire god Molech. That's what the Gentiles were doing. That's why in Ephesians, in Acts chapter 19, they've got a goddess by the name of Diana. And they're so dedicated to the worship of Diana that for 2 hours they throw dirt in the air, rip their clothes off, and have chaos. That's what the Gentiles were doing. I mean, God worked amongst the Israelites and He basically left the Gentiles alone. How you doing, Gentiles? How you doing without Christ? How you doing as an alien from the community of the Israelites? How are you doing as a stranger to the covenant of promise? Doesn't involve you. How are we doing, Gentiles? We're not doing too good. And then it gets worse. Verse number 12 keeps going. I mean, how much worse can it get? Well, I'll tell you how much worse it gets. He says next, having no hope. You see, folks, listen. People who are Christless are hopeless. People, look. I know discouraging times come. I know you get down. I know you face hardships. I know you face difficulties. And at times, it seems like there is no hope. But look, you have Jesus. As long as Christ lives, there's hope. As long. But when you don't have Jesus, when you're without Christ, you are without hope. No hope of grace. No hope of redemption. No hope of pardon. No hope of reconciliation. No hope of forgiveness. No hope of cleansing. No hope of eternal life. No hope of salvation. No hope of heaven. Why? Because there is no Christ. Without Christ, you ain't got no hope. You see, the Bible teaches me that grace is through Christ. John chapter 1, verse 17. Grace came by Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches me that redemption is through Christ. Romans 3:24, the redemption that is in Christ. The Bible teaches me that reconciliation is through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18, God hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches me that forgiveness is through Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to cleanse, to forgive us our sins. The Bible teaches me that cleansing is through Jesus Christ. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible teaches me that eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches me that salvation is through Christ. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven, given among men, none, 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 N-O-N-E, none, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches me that heaven is through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. Let me ask you a question. Where would we be without Jesus Christ? I'll tell you where we'd be. Having no hope. None. No hope. And that's where the Gentile people were in times past. God was not working with them. He was not dealing with them. He left them alone. They were without Christ. They were aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers to the covenant of promise. Having no hope. And then he says, without God in the world. That's a capital G God. That's not my Jehovah. God in the where? In the where? Are you all out there tonight? What are we doing, folks? You think I'm here putting on a show tonight? Are y'all listening? Are y'all in this church service? Where, without Christ, without God, where in the what? World. Who is the God of this world? Oh. So I'm left here without Him, and I got to deal with Him. That ain't too good. That's not good at all. See, in a world ruled by this God, little g, I've got to have that God, big G, Jehovah God. I got to have Him. If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to have a good marriage, if I'm going to have a family, if I'm going to have a life of victory and abundance, I've got to have Him. What chance have I got without God in this world? Huh? Oh, our forefathers had their idols. Sure they did. That's where the idols came from. Where did the idolatry come from in Solomon's kingdom? Where did it come from? Gentiles. Came from the women that Pharaoh, that he married. And they brought their idols in with them. All the Gentiles had their idols. They were made of metal. They were made of wood. Sure, they'd go out to the forest. Jeremiah. Chop down the tree. People use that against Christmas trees. I think it's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. That's not talking about a Christmas tree. That's talking about an idol. Went out there and chopped that tree down. Brought it back in. Decked it up and everything. Bowed down to it and worshipped it. They had their idols. Their idols had eyes. They couldn't see. So here we are. Bowing down to an idol that has eyes. Can't see. Over here, the Jews, they have a God that sees everything that's going on. He sees their oppression. He sees their hard times. He sees their persecution. He sees their sicknesses. He sees it all. He sees their enemies. He sees everything. We're over here worshiping at the feet of something that can't see. Calling that God. We ain't doing too good. Oh, he's got ears. How much you hearing? Can't hear. Those ears can't hear anything. These folks over here, these Jews, they got a God up in heaven. The Bible says, oh, thou that hearest prayer, he that planted the ear, shall it not hear? He heard their cry down in Egypt. Remember what he told Moses? Moses, I have heard their cries. Oh, God. Boy, I got blessed studying Daniel chapter 9 this week. I'm going to preach that in church here, Lord willing. Now, Ezra chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9. Three great prayers prayed by those men of God. And God answered their prayer. I love that prayer by Daniel. Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Because it sounds so much like a prayer you and I would pray. Oh my God, hear me. Oh God, you've got to hear me. Oh God, would you please. You ever get to praying like that? Where you're so heavy with something, it's just, oh God, would you hear me? Oh God, please hear me. God, please hear me. You ever get to praying like that? They had a God that could hear. Yes, I hear you. Yes, Daniel, I hear you. Yes, Nehemiah, I hear you. Yes, Ezra, I hear you. Yes, I do. We're over here worshiping at the feet of an idol with ears. He's deaf. Can't hear a thing. I can cry and weep and beg and plead and cut myself with a lancet and jump around. Can't can't hear nothing. Nothing. Oh, we got our idols. And that idol got a mouth. What'd you say? Can't speak. Can't say a word. Come on, talk to me. I need direction. I need instruction. I need some guidance. I need some comfort. Come on, say something to me. Over here, the Israelites had a God who spoke to them, talked to them, spoke to them through the prophets, spoke to them through the Word of God. They had a God that could speak. We got a God over here. Eyes that can't see, ears that can't hear, mouth that can't speak. And there's not even a heart in the thing. Don't you feel? Don't you hurt when I hurt? Don't you have some word of compassion? Don't you have some word of mercy? Don't you have some word of encouragement? Don't you have some word even of correction? Say something to me. And over here, they not only had a God with eyes who could see, ears that could hear, a mouth that could speak, they had a God who could feel their infirmities. They had a God who felt for them, who had compassion on them, who loved them, who adored them. They were the apple of His eye. We're shut out from all that. I don't know about you, but on this side, that sure looks appealing over there. Amen. Sure it does. And Paul's writing these people who were Gentiles. And he said, you Gentiles, you got your church started now. And you got the offerings coming in. And you got your church program. And you got your things going on. And you're taking a good stand for me. We find that out in Revelation chapter 2. But he said, church at Ephesus, what you need to do is remember in that time past, in past time, when you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of His promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You need to remember that. And then, look at the next two words of verse 13. But now. Circle that. That's better than a field goal with 2 seconds on the clock. Oh, yes. And it'll last a lot longer than the joy from that field goal will last. That's better than a home run to win the game. And I hope the White Sox win it all. I do. I hope they win it all. But I'm going to tell you something. That joy will be about that long compared to the joy this gives me right here. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Our Gentile forefathers stood over here and said, man, look at those Jews. They got a worship service. They got singing. They got fellowship. They got those offerings and sacrifices. Their God sees and hears, and their God speaks, and their God cares about them. Look at that! But we were far off. Far, far off. Acts 2:39. Them that were afar off. Peter was preaching, talking to those that are far off. We're a long ways, but one event changed all of that. When Jesus Christ cried out on that cross, it is finished, breathed His last breath, and laid His head on His chest, and commended His spirit to God. The veil of that temple rent in twain from top to bottom, and His arm said, everybody's included right now. All you Gentile dogs, all you folks who are way over there, come on. The God of the Jews is your God too. You're not aliens. You're not strangers. You come nigh. I'll listen to you. I'll talk to you. I'll love you just like I love you. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Yeah. Brother, what a blessing. What a privilege. Folks, it hadn't always been like, we just kind of be, you know, we just kind of expect God owes us this. No, He doesn't owe us a thing. We owe Him everything. He doesn't owe us another breath. He owes us nothing, friend. In His grace, in His mercy, He reached down and had these people. He said, y'all come on over and get involved in this over here. Yeah.
sure. We're grafted in. We're close. Real close. I don't have any red Jewish blood flowing in my veins. But I got some Jewish spiritual blood flowing in me tonight. Sure I do. So do you if you're born again. And now, Christ has been the influence in our culture. American, Gentile, growing up in a civilized society. At least it used to be. When God was given His rightful place. Christ has been... See, we just think that this is how it's supposed to be. Just because it's supposed to be. Because we're Americans. It's not supposed to be. It's what God owes it. Oh, no, no, no. This is all because of His grace. It's all because of His grace. We're not killing babies, eating each other. Oh, yeah. Now we got Christ in our culture. We all have hope in this world. We have a God who sees, hears, speaks, and cares. All of this because that blood, the precious blood, flowed from my Savior's veins. And Paul said, you Gentiles, you remember. You see, it does us good to remember. Not only because of our Gentile heritage and God's grace to us as Gentiles. It does us good to remember for our own benefit where we would be without the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, what remembering where you came from will do for you, it will never, ever. It will always help you appreciate what you've got. Always. This is, I think, one of the reasons why we have this Lord's table. Because things spring up in our lives and we make such a big deal about them. And we get huffy and puffy and all worked up over the silliest things. Like we are owed better than this. I deserve better than this. And Jesus said, let me take you back to what you were and where you came from and show you what it was like in times past. Then maybe you won't be so huffy. It's a privilege, isn't it? We're embraced by a loving God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. But with privilege comes what? Responsibility. We're supposed to just sit around and shout about it? I don't think that's how it works. See, because you go back to verse 11, wherefore? So you got to go back to see what that wherefore is there for. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, Gentile American Christian, because God has been so good to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, has brought us nigh and made us His people. That's a great privilege, but my goodness, with that comes an awesome responsibility. I got to make sure my life counts for Him. Where would I be without Him? So I'm just going to sit around and shout about how good it is and not do anything for my Savior? Not live for Him? Oh man, I didn't even know who was singing tonight. I should have looked at my paper. You ladies did a great job. Who in the world could have picked a better song but God for this thought? All to Jesus. I surrender. And good grief, folks. People shouldn't have to beat me over the head to get me to do it. I should go back and realize where I was and where I am. And that doesn't motivate you to surrender everything. My life, my mind, everything, try to do everything to His glory. Oh, because of the wonderful privilege that He's brought us nigh comes the responsibility of giving Him my all, surrendering to Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, look, when that cup passes your way tonight and you take it out of that dish in a little bit and you hold it there in your hand for a few moments, put the cares of today and put your concerns about tomorrow. Just put it, when that cup comes your way and that juice is kind of
shivering around in that glass a little bit, sit for a minute and think about what that means. It's not to kill time. That means something. What that means? What that picture is right there is why I used to be way over here. But now I'm over here. And it ought to warm my heart. And say, Lord, my troubles, my disappointments, my struggles, the things in life that I think are so huge. And I'm not minimizing people's problems. People face big problems. But friend, look, there's no reason to get worked up about it. No, no, no. I told my Sunday school class this morning. We're going to be teaching on the book of Proverbs in there. For the purpose, one of the purposes of the Proverbs is to help people live wisely. And if you live wisely, you can live victoriously. The average Christian lives a roller coaster life. God wants us like this. And if I'll face every situation just remembering where I was and where I am now, that'll make the things that look so all-fired important to me really pale. Doesn't mean they're not big. Doesn't mean I won't have to really pray and work on them. But it ought to always keep my heart warm. I should never get backslidden cold on God because of what that means tonight. When you hold it in your hand, you're a Gentile. You want to go back beyond, 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 beyond to that time. And remember what Christ did to bring us close. That's a blessing. Thank you, dear God. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Have you been made nigh tonight by the blood of Jesus? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody in the room tonight who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this evening? Anybody like that in the room tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. All right, if you're here, you've been saved, but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Maybe the Lord would have you follow Him in believers' baptism even tonight. He wants you to do it. You need to be obedient to Him if you haven't been. If you're going to if you need to be baptized, we're ready to have that taken care of this evening. We'll do that quickly before the supper is served. Would you come? All right, a couple of young boys, that's a blessing. A couple of church boys, I'll be right back there in just a minute. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. You're a Gentile, I'm a Gentile. Paul wrote this to a Gentile church. Take a trip back tonight. Some of you folks that were saved out of a Christian home at age 5 and 6, you just kind of think it's always been this way. No, it hasn't. You need to go back tonight, based on what the Bible says in your mind, to being a person, a Gentile, without Christ, alien, stranger, having no hope, and without God, in a world ruled by the devil. Boy, had not God done us a blessing. Are you close to Him tonight? Have things gotten between you and Him? Does your heart need to be cleansed before we pass the juice, the bread? Huh? Well, let us speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you tonight. Dear Father, my heart is blessed. I thank you, O God, for your love and grace. God, I thank you for what you saved me out of back in 75. But I want to go back tonight further. In time past, I'm a Gentile. Thank you for including me. Thank you for including all these dear people. May we never forget it. Draw us closer to Christ tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. The altar will be open.